Good morning, friends and brethren. So good to see you. So happy to see so many visitors with us. We need you here today. We've got so many of our own that are away and sick that you provide a great encouragement to us being here today. Well, it's that time of year again. Presents and shopping, and family and Christmas trees and decorations and lights and Santa and more shopping. Just seems to go with this time of year. We're in the throes of that Christmas season. And it's the best time of year for some, for full of family and good times. And for others, it just means that there's more piled on an already busy schedule. But for all of us, it can be a time to reflect on some deeper spiritual truths that sometimes go unnoticed. Maybe it's a time for us to think about just how much thought we have given to Jesus. It used to be that this time of year that there were plenty of reminders of Christmas being a religious holiday, and there still is that, but there's some things I don't see as much as I used to. In years past, most churches had a nativity scene and had programs about the birth of Christ. I'm not saying that I agree with all of that, I'm just saying that this is what we used to see a lot more of. In fact, I can remember in school it being talked about and told that the reason we had Christmas was because of Christ. In school, I remember that, in public school. And in the small town that we lived near, at the police station, and even at City Hall, they had a nativity scene out in the yard. Well, you wouldn't see that anymore. And I can vividly remember those nativity scenes to have at the center point Jesus in a manger. That was always kind of the main attraction, so to speak. And while all of that has fallen out of favor because of political correctness, we still hear some people say, well, of course, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, is there really a season to celebrate Christ? You know, actually, no one knows when Christ was born, what month he was born. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Luke chapter 8, or chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us that the shepherds were in the field the night of Jesus' birth. It seems somewhat unlikely that he was born one of the rainiest and coolest months of the year in Israel, and that's what December would be. It would not likely be a time where the shepherds would be out watching their sheep in the countryside. But many religious folks have locked on to December 25th, being the birth date of Jesus, and proclaiming that that's a day that we should celebrate. Well, many do not realize that the celebration of Christmas actually has nothing to do with the New Testament, and that there's nothing in the Bible found in any way that says there should be a special celebration about the birth of Christ. Over the years, all kinds of practices and traditions have come about that have been added to as time goes on in what many call a celebration of Christ's birth. But you know, in reality, while there's nothing about it in the New Testament at all, you know, it was 300 years or so before any such celebration came about. Well, does the Bible talk about Christ's birth? Well, certainly it does. We have the narratives of Matthew and Luke's account that tell us the events surrounding the birth of the Christ child. It is so that he came into the world in a birth unlike any other. God took on flesh and blood and became a human being. It's an incredible thought when you just stop and contemplate that very thing. And in those early hours of life, his life was in a manger. Now, that manger may not be exactly like we envision, you know, like a cradle. It probably wasn't like that. Was it a wooden feed trough? Well, perhaps it was. It may very well have been a stone trough. That was something that of the time and of the era would have been very popular to have and to use. But is that the picture we have in our mind of Jesus, the Christ child, in a feed trough? And again, I would emphasize that the birth of Jesus is what most people know when they think about Christ. And for some people, that's about all they know. Because for some, religion has a whole lot to do with Christmas time. It may be the only time that some people even go to church. Well, again, I want to emphasize that the birth of Jesus is something significant. It's something that it's important. And His birth is something that we should know about. That's why God has given us the narrative. That's why He has given us the story about the birth of Christ. In the biblical accounts of His birth and the manger are something that we can know about. And people did come to that manger to worship the Christ child long ago. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, one of the accounts about the birth of Jesus. It is a beautiful story. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start reading at verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. It is a beautiful story. And it's a story that we can rejoice in because it's part of God's plan, sending His Son, the Son that would become a sacrifice for the sins of men. And there is significance of the manger, that the manger was a sign. Did you pick up on that? There is something to that manger. You know, when her firstborn son was born, it was Mary who wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And then the angel of the Lord said something to the shepherds that was almost too good to be true, as we read, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And to believe and to be able to bear witness, they would need a sign, and the angel gave it. "And this is the sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Swaddling cloths? Every baby in Bethlehem was wrapped in swaddling cloths. That was not a sign. The sign was the manger. In fact, this must have sounded so incredibly disgraceful, even. The shepherds must have thought they didn't hear the angel correctly because they were being introduced to the King of Kings. And no other king anywhere in the world was lying in a feeding trough. But the point was, if you find Him, you will have found the King of Kings, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. That's who the angel said had been born, the Savior, the deliverer from all our enemies, and maybe more. And the Christ, the Messiah, the fulfiller of all of the promises of God. Lord, as in the one described by Paul later, Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 6, He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This Savior, this Christ, this Lord, lying in what? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. This was the sign. No other king anywhere in the world was lying in a feeding trough. Find him and you will have found the King of Kings. And this of itself will tell us something critical about his kingship. That he wasn't like any other king. That his kingship was about serving others. Servitude. He was a very different kind of king. But there are deeper spiritual truths that often go unnoticed this time of year. Many know of Christ's birth, but it's surprising to me how many really know very little about his life and his purpose. The birth of Jesus is indeed profoundly important. It ushered in a period of time that the prophets had already foretold, and it brought about a time when God was unfolding his eternal plan. His eternal plan to save mankind from sins, and that required the birth of the Christ child. But there's more to it than the manger. And it seems that there's just such a focus on the birth of Christ and that nativity scene and Christ in the manger that for some, that's all they know. That's all of the story of Jesus that they know. But there is more than a manger. That is, when we follow the Bible story, there is actually little said about the birth of Christ and a whole lot said about his impending death and the purpose of him being a sacrifice. And yet in the religious world as a whole, there's a lot said about the birth of Christ and great celebration for that, and little attention given to much else. Like his death on the cross for the sins of man. There is more to the story than a manger. In fact, when it came to Jesus telling his disciples to remember and to celebrate a special day, it was not the day of his birth. You would think that if the birth of Jesus and that date was so important, that Jesus would have said something about it. That he would have called man's attention to that day. That he would have given some instructions about remembering the day of his birth. But instead, Jesus talked about his death. And specifically, what Jesus said is recorded by the pen of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We begin at verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This do in remembrance of me. It's interesting that the Lord never said anything like that regarding his birth and remembering his birth, but he's telling his disciples to remember my death. to remember the purpose of my death. That was the significance. That was his point. And he could not be more specific. He could not be more clear that this is what the Lord wanted us to know and remember. He did not speak of his birth, but of his impending death, his suffering, sacrifice. This is what the Lord wanted us to focus on. And it is that which would lead us to the cross, to remember the cross. The story that Jesus wants us to remember is more than a manger. I am simply amazed at the simplicity of the Lord's Supper, the memorial that we just partook of to remind us of the death of cross of Christ, remind us of the cross, his suffering. A father who is willing to give his son are the thoughts that come to our mind. And in contrast to the pomp and the circumstance that so many have placed on the birth of Jesus and his resurrection, this memorial is sufficient and it is effective to fulfill what the Lord wants us to remember, or even to celebrate, might we say. And in this, the emphasis is on the Lord and what he wants us to remember. And in Scripture, we find that's what the New Testament Christians did, that they assembled on the first day of the week to remember the Lord, each first day of the week. It's very simple, and yet it's profound. It's a supper, it's a memorial that does not gather the attention of the world, but it gathers the attention of those whose minds are focused on service to the Lord. That's the purpose. That's what the Lord wants us to remember. And that needs to be our focus. Many are this week giving their attention to a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. But the adult Jesus has called our attention to remember him, to remember his life, to remember his suffering, to remember his death. That's what he calls us to remember. And he challenges us to do that, to recognize his lordship, to understand and to know his authority and his call for us to give our lives to him. It is that Jesus who is calling us to be his disciples. Make no mistake about it, that we should be profoundly grateful for the miracle of the virgin birth of Jesus, and that he would come and he would live among men and live an astounding life that would be given as a sacrifice because of our sins. It is amazing what he did here in giving himself, dying for us. In Acts chapter 2, in the first gospel sermon preached there at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, and at verse 22, here's the way Peter began the sermon. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. You know, this is what the Lord wants us to remember. It's not to discredit, it's not to make the birth of Christ of nothing. No, we've emphasized that today. But what the Lord wants us to remember always, and what he wants us to celebrate, is his death, and to remember that act of kindness and grace, That's what He wants us to know and to remember. And for us to know and to be reminded that we can die to sin and no longer live in it. This was His reason. This was His purpose in coming. Acts chapter 6, beginning verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. With this putting away of an old life, turning from sin, we can walk with the Lord. We can be raised to walk from baptism to walk in a new life. That is the story of Jesus. There's more to the story than the manger. It's good for us to stop and to think and to remember the story of the birth of Jesus. That's good. But if that becomes our only focus, and if that's all we know, we don't know the half of the story. But now we do. And Jesus wants us to know and to remember His death. And we celebrate it in the most simple way, but in a way that is so effective that week by week we are reminded of the blessings we have in Christ and why each one of us should want to walk with Him. By faith we can. Faith that is so strong that it compels us to be obedient to Him in whatever He would say and request of us. That we would repent of our sins, confess His name, and be baptized so that our sins are washed away and we can walk with Him. This was God's eternal plan. And that's the fullness of His plan. And we need to respond to that. If there's any today that need to respond to the gospel of Christ, we hope you'll come, even now as we stand and sing.